the way my brain works is I don't like scripts. I like structure. And every time this guy pops up, it reminds me to ask you to ask me a question. So this is question time. So hence the question mark. I was looking at the spray can and I thought, I don't know what that's got to do with anything, but it just reminds me to get you to ask me a question. And it also means that we've finished a block. And now we move on to the next block. So that's how I structure a presentation. Make sense? Yeah, thanks. It was meant to be. It's strategically there. Okay, so we're going to move on to the next bit. So we're going to try and punch through this pretty quick, but effectively. So the next premise, what was the first premise? First key idea? Know thy enemy. Okay, what are we dealing with? Our prospect's inactivity. So the next thing we need to do is become irresistible. And what I mean by irresistible is move away from a resistible offer and towards an irresistible offer. And like I said, most of my work, like the digital side of it, the targeting, the platform work, is the easy bit, but understanding the offer is actually where all the hard work goes in. And you know, most people, you know, rush their marketing, and it's not that you've got to wait, like you've got to get marketing out, and you've got to get your message out, but you've got to firstly understand, you know, where you're targeting and who you're targeting at. And this is why we need to work on offer for starters, but also why we need to work on that first bit, know thy enemy. Once we know them, once we know who we're actually targeting, we can put offers in front of them that are specific. And that's the first key to getting your offer really working. The more specific we can be in our offer, the more traction it will get. So, for example, Will here, I was just talking to Will. Now, it's a challenging thing for Will, and I may or maybe not right here, but the more you can articulate, this is how much time I can save you, this is how much money I can save you, this is how much extra value I can get out of your property, you know, this is how much I can change to your bottom line, this is how much return I can get on your investment, this is how good I look with my shirt off, putting your landscaping together, you know. The more we can articulate specificity, the stronger the headline will be, the stronger your offer will be, the more specific it will be, the better. Does that make sense? This is the single biggest fail is a bland, it's an ambiguous headline. A non-specific headline is the single biggest thing that causes, that creates resistible offers. So when you're looking at it, there's a bunch of things that you can, like every market will have its own metrics that you want to put into this. But for example, you know, how much with your offer, you want to consider, you know, how much time you're going to save them, how much time you're going to create them, how much kind of impact you're going to get. Now by impact, I mean, what's the massive benefit that this is going to get to you? How much money you're going to make or save specifically? These are, how much money is it going to improve in the value of your asset, etc. But the more, and the other thing as well, like people are, like what works a lot in marketing, unfortunately, is when you give it. When you make something that's infinite and give it finite steps, like so, with marketing, there's with sales, there's so many different strategies. There's so many different things, and in fact, the real benefit of having getting a decent consultant is that they can see the multiple ways that you can present an offer to a market. There's so many strategies you can use. However, one of the things that works is if you say in marketing all the time, you'll see it. It's a five-step formula. People like to think that there's five steps. There might be five. I've got six key principles today, but that's just on your offer. But you know, I could spend a week talking to you about offers. We just pick six out so you don't freak out when you leave here and go, shit, there's 100 things I've got to do. Like there's six things to consider. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So with specificity is really, really important. And there's also a bunch of criteria. This is where it's going to get a little bit boring. I'm going to read you out a bunch of criteria and I want you to write them down in a question, okay? Now, so bear with me while I pull my notes out. This is what's called the 15 core elements of an irresistible offer, or the 15 attributes of an irresistible offer. The good news is you don't need all of them. And the good news is you just need to consider them. When you're putting your offer together, it's just nice to have a guideline of things that you can consider to make sure it's strong. Does that make sense? So one of the things I do with my clients, if they're a coaching client, they'll do an offer and we'll just go through these. We'll go, is it this? Is it that? And that'll just help us sharpen up and specify the offer. So I'll write them down, please, so you can just take it with you. I should have given you a handout, but I didn't. Sorry about that. So you just have to write it down. The 15 core elements, the first one is it valuable to my prospect? That's the first thing you need to know. So when you put an offer together, is it valuable to my prospect? If it's not, we've got problems. Is it valuable to my prospect? Some of these might seem like they're going to cross over. Second one is it desirable? Is my offer desirable? Is what I'm going to give them desirable to them? The next thing is it appreciated? Again, these might seem like they're crossing over, but do they appreciate this? If they don't appreciate it, you don't have to get all of these right, remember? These are just things to consider. The other thing is it distinctive to other offers? In a competitive market, one of the best things you can do is create what's called unique method. Unique method. We've got an XYZ system. McDonald's have just done it now with their new taste. They're always trying to create new method. And they've got an app or an iPad thing that you create your own. That's a unique method. I don't think it'll work personally. I haven't seen them continue to market it, but that's an attempt at unique method. Does that make sense? I do all my landscaping with my shirt off. After I've finished your thing, I'll give you the value will come in, and we'll quantify. You could even do it as a bonus. This is the base rate, and if we can get the value up by this, you give me a bonus. That's unique method. So. Does that make sense? Distinctive to others. Paintball for chicks. Shoot your bestie in the face. I don't know. Yeah, let's do that. Distinctive to others. Now, any questions on these so far? Like, I know I'm just reading them out, but any questions on them? Life coaching. One of the best ways to do, put unique method on a life coach is on a program is give it a name. Like we use the XYZ method. We use the, you know, Taki's business partner's great at this to the point where it's irritating. Like, you know, we've got that process before. It's a common marketing process, the four forces, but he calls it the four forces. That's just an understanding of your It's like your customer's motivations, but it's called the four forces. That's simply how we've created a unique method, by just changing the name of it. Does that make sense? Distinctive to others. We'll sell you a holiday and come with you. You do? Is that right? Oh, there you go. Number five, it resonates with your target audience. Basically, your offer needs to say, I get you from the inside out. It's not really just enough to say, I get you, I understand you. I get you from the inside out. Like, that's what true resonation means. Like, if you really get them. Like we were saying before, sorry, I've forgotten your name over here. Francine, viability. Like, if you said them to them in a sales call, you said, look, I get you. You know, I know that marketing is hard, and marketing's not just about making money for you. It's about a viable business. If you told them that, that would be a way to show that it resonates with the target. This would come in the way you articulate your offer. Does that make sense? You good with this? Okay. It's progressive. Now, what is it progressive? This is basically saying, how much can I make a difference in my target client's life? Now, the guys who are really good at this are Bunnings. They've got a progressive offer. Because you know, people constantly, we've got shares in Bunnings, man. Like, we seriously pay people's wages there. And the simple question to make sure your offer is progressive is to say, how much can I make a difference in my target client's life? And like I said, that's progressive. It's, you know, we'll do the work and then organise a valuer, etc. We'll organise you a holiday and we'll come with you. Look after your kids while you go to the pub.
What's the difference between that and the distinctive offer, the unique method?
Progressive is about what else can I do for you, and distinctive is about we're different. We've got a different method. We've got a different process. It's an innovation. So a great example of distinctive marketing was Apple when they brought out the iPod. You know, 1,500 songs in your pocket. It's very, very clever marketing, because what they did was, you know, they weren't talking about the product. They weren't talking about how much RAM it had. They weren't talking about how technically advanced it was. They weren't even talking about that you don't plug your CD into it. They just said 1,500 songs in your pocket. It was unique method. It was a new offer. So, you know, they didn't talk about all the bells and whistles. They just talked about, they related it to an old situation, which is what you do. You know, when the car came out, they said, you know, like a horse that you don't have to feed. Like, that was some of the marketing that they used. They linked it to an old thing. But that was a perfect example of unique method. Or distinction, sorry. Does that make sense? Demonstrates hopefulness. We'll get through these real quick, okay? Does my offer demonstrate hopefulness? Now, hope is a great motivator. This is why when you say, you know, I'm going to work with you, I'm going to do your digital marketing, and it's going to add XYZ money to your business. It's specific. I'll add XYZ in a certain time frame. I've got a 5-step process that's going to add 20% to your revenue in 4 months. It's very specific, but it's also demonstrating hopefulness to someone who is worried about viability. Yeah? Hopefulness is about the outcome. Yeah. Hopefulness is, you know, I think I can generally we can add 15% value to your property. Generally you'll get an XYZ return on your investment. And you can probably get specific with that in your market. Like if you with things like extra living room, add a bathroom. Exactly. These things generally improve this much value to a property. You can use, sales in the area as an example. That information is not too difficult to quantify. Number nine, is my offer morally responsible? Easy to get started. Look, I could talk about this for days, but easy to get started basically means, it's simple. It starts with, look, give me a call. I'll have a quick look at your house, see what you need, and give you a rough estimate of how much value I can improve in it. Does that make sense? Easy to get started. Look, you could have an offer which is part of your marketing, the five places not to go, or the five safest places to take your kids. That's an easy start. Like, if you're looking for a holiday, you don't need to buy from me. You just need to know where's safe at the moment. If you're selling memories, you want good memories, not, you remember that time we were in Paris and there was those gunmen, it was great. Empathic is number 10. Is that what we're up to? Number 9. Bloody hell. Morally responsible was number 9. Is it morally responsible? I think that speaks for itself. Look, empathic is just basically means it's an extension of what was one of the other ones that I can't remember right now. But it basically means, you're communicating with empathy. From a bit of a position of humility. So there was an ad I saw on Facebook, and it was about a credit agency, get out of debt agencies, and it was something like, give us a call, and we'll see how much debt you're in. That's the first step. Give us a call, and we'll see how much debt you're in. So you imagine the person who's clicking on that ad. What are they really saying? But it was how much debt you're in. Yeah, cool. We'll have a conversation, and then we'll tear you to bits. Like, I'm going to ring you. I'm going to book in. There's no hope. I'm going to book in and have a conversation with you, and you're going to tell me how screwed up my situation is. Yeah, sure, I'll do that. As opposed to, no matter how much debt you're in, we can have a conversation and give you a couple of strategies. Does that make sense? There's empathy in the communication. Yeah? Okay, so is it empathetic? What is my customer going to feel in responding to my ad? Number 11, is that what we're up to? Yes. Alleviates a problem or achieves an outcome. Look, the key to marketing, as far as I'm concerned, is does it solve a problem or help someone achieve something? Especially when you're selling more expensive stuff. Number 12 is be a leader. Am I demonstrating leadership is the way to articulate the question. Am I demonstrating leadership? I'm going to bang through these now. Risk reversal is the next one, number 13. Risk reversal says, look, let me have a look at your mortgage. I'll see if I can find you a better rate. And if I can't, I'll give you a bottle of wine. That's risk reversal. If you can't, there's one of the strategies we've used for a digital agency was, look, if I can't show you how to make an extra 50 grand, I'll write you a check for $1,000. That's risk reversal. You don't have to have these. These are just ideas to tighten them up. Number 14 is assume they don't already have the problem, the solution. In your offer, you've got to assume they don't have it. Do you want to renovate your property to increase its, get its maximum value? They might have done it. They might have done everything to the property. It might be perfect. But you still, when you're putting an offer, I'm going to renovate it to give you maximum return. And number 15 is, we're going to cover this in detail in a moment, which is sells a big view, a point of view or a big idea. A big idea basically is, you know, 1,500 songs in your pocket. A big idea, and there's a whole process to this. You know, if everyone's marketing the same thing, you've got something different to represent. Okay? Now, I've just done a whole bunch of talking. You've done a bunch of writing. Turn to your neighbour and just ask the question, you know, just discuss, you know, what you're offering, and just go through them really quickly. How many of these do I tick off? Does that make sense? You're clear on the instruction? What I offer to people is this, you know, how many of these, you know, I do this. Number one I do, number two I do. Okay, so we've got the man with the question mark. So just very quickly, there was a lot of information there. You don't have to get all of this right. I just want to make a point. I'm going to be covering a lot of ideas today. Not, you don't need to remember all of them. You just need, if you get one of these ideas, it's going to have impact on your marketing. However, what did you learn from that? What's your biggest takeaway from that last exercise? In particular, you know, how does your offer stack up? Actually, let me ask a different question, because I can tell that one just went, what? What are you learning is the next question.
There's a lot of moving parts in creating an offer.
Yep.
A lot of them do overlap.
Yep.
But it's sometimes you can just look at an offer on a surface level and go, that's the shizzle,
mm-hmm.
and not really take it to another level and break it down into these specific categories.
Yeah.
I think you may have said it before, like sometimes you can just rush into an offer and think it's the shizzle. But if you do this process of breaking it down, an offer can go from just being okay to being exceptional
mm-hmm.
by just doing that.
Yep. No, look, that's it. Look, when you get the shizzle, that's, you know, you've got a basic, and then you can start to chisel the shizzle with the 15. Sorry. But yeah, if you can't, like, that's exactly right. You get the offer, and then you can, like, most people stop there. And then, but when you can actually extrapolate, you can get more out of it and improve it. Because that's why most marketing sucks, because they stop at what they think is shizzle. But great point. So what else are you learning?
Selling
what
Peter
does
is
easier than selling
PR services. Come on,
because that's
so exciting.
You know, all the rest of it, whereas, you know, selling PR services to a business, especially a very small one, I've really got to concentrate a lot more on making it irresistible and really explaining to people.
Selling consulting is a speciality of mine, but. I would rather sell consulting than paintball. And do you know why? The margin is huge. The margin is huge, and the impact you can have on a business is huge. So I like consulting because it's big margins. It's fun, paintball. But you're worrying about margins. Like you were saying before, you target women because it's a high margin, which is incredibly intelligent. I target men because they're more aggressive. I like working with ladies, but proactive, you know, people who are, you know, it's a whole, but consulting's great when you get it right. It's a whole different thing. Again, you know, product or service gets in the way of, thanks Steve. Product or service can get in the way. So if you know, it's got nothing to do with paintball or HR, it's to do with what am I actually helping them do. So we're gonna move on to the next bit. One of the 15 core elements of an irresistible offer was creating a big idea. What I mean by a big idea is something that, an idea that's unusual or different, or what does Kath and Kim say? Oh, that's different, that's unusual. Like a big idea is something that gets someone's attention. Most times in the market is saying the same thing. Most marketing is copycat marketing. It's called Me Too marketing. I'll save you money. Like everyone's kind of competing with the same message. No, I'm different. I'll save you money. How are you different to the bloke down the street? Well, I've got I'll save you money. Like, everyone's got a similar idea. And the problem with that is we get, like I said, we get a Me Too kind of experience of marketing. Whereas when you can have a big idea or you can present an offer that is unique and different, a different way of presenting it, a different way of demonstrating it, a different way of providing a service, you become an authority. Now, one of the key things with big ideas, when you have a big idea, you become quotable. Now, have you heard someone, like, who do you generally, do you know what I mean by quotable? You know, what such and such says? Have you heard what such and such said? When you quote, there's, do you know why you remember what someone says and why you quote it? It resonated with you, yeah? Not happy, Jan, yep. It shifted your context. It changed the way you think. A big idea, if your offer can change the way someone thinks, you'll become quotable. You'll get real estate in their head. Now, just let me know what your understanding is of what I just said is. Like, so a big idea is when you change the way someone thinks, they will quote you. What's your understanding of what I just said?
Challenge what they thought they knew.
Yeah.
Make them believe what you said.
Yeah. So think of people that you quote. Like, just give me a quote. Not happy, Jan.
In our business, we use one because customers want. They come out with all sorts of things.
Yeah.
It's a favourite one is Henry Ford. You can have any colour you want as long as it's black.
Yeah.
And that's what we use in our business. It doesn't matter what they're saying. They don't believe they're getting what they want, but we know they're going to get a black car.
Yeah. Well, look, like, people sometimes quote me saying the customers actually want to buy from you. There's a massive error in the sales process. People want to be sold to.
Best thing since sliced bread.
That's amazing.
It's original, isn't it?
Yeah.
I just thought of that.
You're ahead of the curve. So becoming quotable, having a big idea, usually means the easiest way to do it is to combine two ideas or present a different way of thinking about it. What the biggest companies in the world at the moment, the fastest growing companies in the world are companies like what? Apple, yeah. They're in it. They've certainly big idea people, yep. Yeah. What did you say? Yeah.
Tesla.
Fantastic. Tesla.
Uber.
Thank you very much. So, Facebook. Alibaba. The iPod was iPads, iPods. These are all big ideas that have changed things. Now, the key thing with all of them, Tesla, Apple, Airbnb, perfect. There's Uber, Facebook, Alibaba, Airbnb. These are four companies that don't sell anything, but there's the fastest. Like the platforms. Facebook produces the most content in the world, and it doesn't produce any of its own content. Airbnb is the largest company in the world selling rent a holiday accommodation or accommodation. They don't own a building. Alibaba is one of the largest merchants in the world. They don't have anything to sell. They create a platform. Does this make sense? So all they've done, they've taken a technology, the internet, and combined it with an old service, which was holiday accommodation. Tesla has taken cars and electricity. I mean, it wasn't a new thing, but he's the way he's doing it, the style in which he's doing it, is big idea. It's big. Plus, he's always quoting. Plus, he's got a mission. Plus, he's saying, you know, let's take on fossil fuel. Like this is a big idea, and people get behind the big idea. Now, with our friend Sally, her big idea. When we shifted with Sal, Sal was trying all these other, she was trying webinars and all these other ways of, you know, Facebook marketing and things like that. She was going to the noisy marketplace with a same message. And the way we innovated her was just by changing the process. we combine referrals with a case study. What's the problem with referrals? If someone refers you, or you refer someone, you go, oh, you got to go and meet such and such. Follow through is the problem. So we created an intro strategy so she could have control over the follow through. So the email combined, you're introduced to someone rather than just referred. Does this make sense? It was a we combined referrals plus control over this conversation plus a case study strategy. And that one thing is that's the highest return on marketing investment I've seen. It cost her nothing, and she got $74,000 in 6 days just by doing that. Getting your friends, getting
it. We do a referral.
Yep.
When the client comes back, if you pass on,
yep,
on our details, we'll give you a little bit of a bonus for your next holiday.
Fantastic.
So is that what you're gearing towards?
Look, I'm just getting you.
Are we doing it that way as well, giving a bonus to?
No. She's added $30,000 to someone's income. She's got someone to the C-suite.
No, but the first person who referred them on to, did she look after them?
She already has looked after
them. Yeah. So the way it happened, she went back to an old client she got a kick-ass result for and said, I want to meet more people like you. There was a bit more to the strategy. If we get time, I'll tell you about it later. But it was the combination of ideas. So you guys could have a holiday club. That's not a new idea, but it's referrals. Introduce your friends to the holiday club. So that way, refer them to this club. That way I can market to them. That way I can tell them about the specials. That way I can tell them about when we're going to Uluru. Does that make sense? So you could just tell your friends, look, if you rather than refer, just tell them to come here. Tell them to get on this Facebook page. And that way you can share your happy snaps on the Facebook page. That would actually be a decent strategy. Put your photos up here on the holiday club. Invite your friends. We'll tell you when the deals are on. Does this make sense? So we're going to do a little exercise. Now, the way I find big ideas, or the way I find where big ideas are, comes back to, now, I have to apologize in advance because I'm trying to teach you a bunch of stuff in 150 minutes that we could probably go into greater detail with. But where I find big ideas, where I find opportunities to innovate, is around the constraints. Wherever there is a constraint is an opportunity to innovate. It's like you were saying before, that my customer now, I'm distracted because the customer's overseas and I can't help them, and that's a massive opportunity. They've got a constraint, and if you help them properly, there's probably 4 or 5 sales in that, easy. Because what do you think they're going to do when they come back? Oh, this terrible thing happened. Just as well, OO and JJ were there. Beauty. You did? Fantastic. Quick operators. So we're going to do a little exercise. Now, we don't have a bunch of time, but I want you to write down the points why we're going to do this exercise. Opportunities for big ideas, opportunities for innovation lie in the constraints. Most people stress out about constraints. Where there is a problem, there is an opportunity. So, here's the exercise. Grab your 4 forces from before and just look at all of those. Now, you'll have, when you have your 4 forces, fears, frustrations, wants, and aspirations. You may or may not get a solution to this, but it's worth the brain pain that you go through to do this. But I can't find a good holiday. Look at their frustrations. And the question is, What's causing that? Not what is the frustration, what is the cause? What's missing? What is the root cause of this? So I'm just trying to think what I can and can't cut out. What is the root cause of that problem? And is there a way? Is there a solution that only I can provide? Or is there a solution that I can come up with? And within there will be your big ideas. So we're going to spend maybe 5 minutes on this now. Identify one of your frustrations or fears. Ask the question, what is the cause of that? What's actually causing that? Now, here's a little framework I use to find cause. There are what's called three types of problems. How many? Yeah, okay. So I'm teaching you a bunch of stuff and there's a lot of information. So the way we can kind of make it easier on your brain is to like empty some of it. So the way we're going to empty some of it is I'll ask you a bunch of questions and as soon as you answer, it's like emptying your brain. So there's three types of problems.
Three,
thank you. You girls have emptied your brain, excellent. There's what we call a known spoken problem. This comes from a guy called Matt Church. In other words, I know it, I'm happy to talk about it. This is, geez, business is tough. This is, I don't know where to go on holidays. Everything's scary or I don't know where the safest place to take my kids is. Known spoken problem. Then we have what's called the unspoken problem. They know it, but they're not happy to talk about it. This is usually an emotional thing. For example, I run a business. It's struggling. But the truth is, I don't really know what I'm doing. How many business owners know exactly what you're doing? Yeah? How many business owners know exactly what you're doing? And how often are you happy to tell people? How often have you said to someone, I really don't know what I'm doing? To your partner, yeah. That would fit in the known unspoken. In other words, you're not happy to talk about it to a prospect. I'm happy to say to my prospects, 80% of this is going to fail. But when it works, you're going to get rich. So I'm happy to say that. And if we stop before that point, you've just wasted your money. I'm happy to say that. But that's a known unspoken. Does that make sense? What are your... Give me a couple of examples. I know it, but I'm not happy to talk about it.
Sorry,
yeah.
You said the known unspoken example that you just gave, that you told your client...
I'm happy to do that, yeah.
Most...
Yeah, I forget what I just said.
Yeah.
My illustration was wrong. Well, the one, a lot of people, I'm happy to say there's a lot of failure in marketing. But what an example of the known unspoken problem is, I'm a life coach, but my life is shit. You know, or my relationships suck. Or, I'm a personal trainer and I get wasted every weekend. Does that make sense? I'm a landscaper, but geez, don't look at my garden. Does that make sense? I'm a business owner, but I don't really know what I'm doing. That's a known unspoken. And then the final one, I can see there's a lot of, we're just going to have to get into it. Unknown, and it's called unspoken. Now, this is ideally what we're going to identify with people. An unknown, unspoken problem is, people know that their marketing's not working and they don't know how to do it. The unknown, unspoken problem is that generally your offer sucks. People don't know that. People don't know that it's the offer that is the problem. People don't know that... does this make sense, firstly? So just turn to your neighbours and just go, look, here's an example. Don't worry about getting it right. Here's an example of number one, here's an example of number two, and here's an example of number three. Just turn to your neighbours now. Okay, how are we going with that? All right, everyone do me a favor. Just stand up. Turn to your neighbor, give them a high five and say, I don't know what we're doing, but it's awesome. Okay, now go around the table. I don't know what we're doing, but it's awesome. Yep. This is unknown, unspoken problem right there. Me as a speaker just went, okay, I just confused the audience. So come back, you can sit back down now. Grab your four forces out. Grab the four forces out. And what we want to do is identify something on the left-hand side and just pick one thing and identify what is the constraint. What is the thing causing that frustration? About your prospect, ideally, you can. But for the exercise, if it's easy to use yourself, then you can do that. But ideally, about your prospect, what's frustrating them, and what is the actual cause of this? Okay, let's get on with this. Note to self: we need more time to go through this next time. Questions, comments, feedback. Where are we up to?
Love it. Fantastic. What are we learning?
Heaps.
Did you? I did. That's great. So, there's a thing that I've got to talk to you about in a moment, but it's called the scale of specificity. There's ambiguous and then there's specific. What are we learning? Heaps. Specific is I just learned this one particular thing about this particular thing. No. What did you notice? Did anyone actually identify a constraint? Yeah. What was the constraint?
Well, one of the biggest constraints is for our organising the organiser. Mm-hmm. So that's it's a 30% dropout rate from our organiser penciling in to actually confirmation of booking. So we lose there's 30% of my business that I can increase without actually getting any more customers.
Okay. So why are they dropping out?
I don't have all the information on that. I have information, but I haven't put enough time in to actually find out. There'll be people like I'm just inquiring, and we're closing them for the first stage.
Yeah.
Just able to pencil in your details, how many players you've got, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
That's part of it, but I just truly believe it's a lot of people like the idea. They just find it difficult to organise other people, especially when they're unorganised.
So. One of the things you can do there, just real quick, most people when they sell are leading with logistics. So, we'll book you in, we'll see how many people you want. That's logistics. But if you get on a sales call or one of those calls and ask them, okay, so we'll talk about logistics in a minute, but I just want to know what's the experience that you want? What type of environment do you want to create? What are you trying to get out of this for your team? Or ask them about the experience first. And then, because most people will be at logistics. Logistics, that's the service or the offer. Does that make sense? Yeah. And that's in the way of the sales process. So ask them about the experience. You're selling an experience. I mean, and you could say, do you want to shoot your girlfriend in the face? Do you want to shoot your boss in the head? Like, do you want to just hang out with your mates and have a really good time? What are you looking for? So identify those, because that's what you're selling, yeah? So we need to start with that in the conversation. That'll probably boost your sales.
We found that in the Bucks side of things, because one of the things the Bucks were reading out, first thing they'll do because they're blokes was how much it's going to cost. So we just totally went off cost and said we only get one chance to get it right.
Yeah.
Bucks.
Yeah.
So you're not looking for cheap.
Well, look, again, we want to push them away from, like, price is right down the bottom. They're commoditizing at that point. And you go, look, there's a couple of packages, but at first I want to know, look, is this, do you want, we want this to be a bloodbath, or do we want this to be this? Like, what experience are they after? Because then we can get you the cheapest package for that particular experience. Yep, exactly. Perfect. So what else? Did anyone else identify a constraint?
Well, I had a client last week, and she makes jewelry.
Yep.
And she said, look, I'm having trouble with the truck getting the colours right in my stones.
Yeah.
Some of these stones I'll do for free to start with, and then you have to buy whatever from there. So, Yeah, so basically she's not happy with what she's getting at the moment from all the people she's used. I know I can do it. So I'll offer that one, two shots, and then go from there.
That's fantastic. That's a demonstration of what we said before. You're taking responsibility for the outcome first. You're helping before you sell. So that's excellent. Okay. So that could be part of your offer. We'll just give me a look at what you've got for it. Like, that could be an offer, part of your offer, which is unique.
My concern, my problem is the packages. You just said that you're offering packages for, you don't want to get the price part. That's where I struggle with. And I actually said to the client, I said, look, she said, how much is it going to cost? I said, well, that's what I do. Mm-hmm. And I've always battled with this because my jobs are varied.
Yep.
So I've struggled big time to get to an offer, a package deal type thing. I find it extremely difficult.
It's less about packages. Again, it's your service or product is in the way of the sale. So forget about packages. Mm-hmm. You've got stones. You're making jewellery, right?
She's making jewellery.
And what are you doing?
I'm a photographer.
Uh-huh. Okay, so look, I need to know what your outcome is. Yeah. Is this for marketing? Do you want to share this on your Facebook page? Like, what do you want to get out of me working with you? Do you want to? Is your market, wedding people? Who are they? People who want to give it to their children? Because this gives me an idea of what you really want.
Sure.
So you get asked. You again, it's not a strategy. It's ridiculously simple. Ask them what. Like, try and find out more about what they need.
Mm.
Like, sales is, you will sell if you understand. You will sell if you understand. And so people are asking about packages. That's not understanding. Like, what do you want to, just ask her a bunch of questions. It's all really common sense. What's the goal of this? Tell me about what you want to do with the photos. And then, so you understand. And then you go, well, look, based on that, this is what I think I can do for you.
I'm glad to hear what you just said, because that's what I did.
Perfect. Well, it's a natural process.
About what it was going to cost.
Yes.
Happy with what I've been saying and
sort
of discussing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Look, I learned this lesson all the time still, but I helped this guy with a presentation, and he's a friend of mine. And he made $115,000 off the presentation. I basically wrote it for him. And he's a financial planner. And I helped him write a sales presentation for a group, and he made $100,000 out of it. And I said to him, I said, look, you're a mate, I'll do it for you. Mate's rates. I think I charged him $5,000. He made since then he's made over $1 million with the presentation, in because he's a financial planner and selling stuff down the pro. And I said to him, I'll do it for mate's rates, $5,000. And he was like, yep. And as soon as he said that, I was like, I didn't ask you, how much this is worth to you. Like, I went straight to price. I completely missed, I'm going to write you a presentation. How much do you think you can make from this? Like, this guy's going to be living off this, and I charged him $5,000 for it. So, the point is, I didn't take the time to understand the situation, and I undercharged myself. And I still regret it. To this day, we don't talk anymore. No, he's a good mate. This is Mark Robinson. Yeah. Anyway, so no more questions. Everyone's crystal clear. Super psyched. Yeah. Cool. The next thing we're going to do in this, we might just spend a bit more time on this. How much? 20. Okay. We'll spend as much time as we can on this one. Articulation and nomenclature. This is where we're actually going to look at how do we articulate an offer. Now, most businesses will speak their own language. How many times have you gone to an accountant and walked away completely confused? Yeah? Just about every time? And why do you think that is? They talk in jargon. Exactly. That they understand. One of the biggest ways to kill a marketing campaign, or the biggest ways to ruin an offer, is to use your language, not your client's. Does that make sense? One of the biggest ways to kill it. So you have to speak the native tongue. Now, does anyone drink Coke Zero? So they're just rebranding. Does anyone know why? Very few people are drinking Coke Zero. And do you know why that is? This is what it's being rebranded to. They're targeting men. And they've called it Coke Zero. They'll know what this is about. They didn't realize, men didn't, like all the men they surveyed, after they'd spent millions of dollars trying to market this bloody thing, didn't understand, oh, there's no sugar in it. Oh, shit, I might drink that. So they've rebranded it as Coke Zero Sugar. And the marketing says, whole new flavor. We've improved the flavor. No, we haven't. All we've done is change the name. So you understand that there's no sugar in it. The amount of times we market, and I do it. I did it 2 weeks ago. I had a Facebook campaign, which is about improving your sales conversion. That's language I use. What's the conversion rate? What are we converting at here? By up to 40%. Improve your conversion by up to 40%. And people weren't buying it. I'm like, why are they not responding? Like, that's awesome. The market doesn't use that language. Nomenclature is the way you say it, the way they say it. So we had to change, we changed the, like one thing, same product, same service, same report that we're giving away. And we just said, we used Sally's example in one of the ads. You know, this woman used this 5-step formula to make 74 grand in a week. Do you want to report on how she did it? So our cost per lead went from, I think it was $30 a lead, down to $2 a lead. Same thing, just changed the words. Same offer, exactly the same report, exactly the same service, we just changed the words. Coke Zero Sugar is now actually selling, it's now becoming profitable. Because people are like, oh, it's got a new flavor. But now they understand there's no sugar in it. Does this make sense? Okay. Now, here's some really good examples here. Men's Health Magazine. Does anyone buy Men's Health Magazine? You do? Yeah. Do you ever use the words, I need to get back in shape? No? Yep. I don't believe you. We're just coming, not out loud. Different issue, same words. Abs made easy. They've got a formula. Get back in shape. Every couple of months, get back in shape. Get back in shape. There's always something to do with abs. Yeah. Oh no, it's different. It's yellow cover. It's a different. Yeah. And there's always something about sex. And this is the same with women's magazines as well. If you look at the covers, just Google, what's the women's health one? Is it Women's Health? Yeah, great. Glad you're there. There'll always be, you know, something about sex, more intimacy. Great. There's something about abs. There's something about sex. There's something about gain muscle. And then there's something about get back in shape. So we'll go through a couple of these. Pardon? In a lot of cases, 27, this is what I was saying before. How many ab workouts are there? 27 flat belly power foods. 30 red hot sex secrets. Sculpted ads made easy. This is nomenclature. Oh, I want sculpted abs. There's other ones, like, that guy's ripped. You know, that's what guys say. Oh, look at that guy. Jeez, man, that guy's ripped. And they've got, different episode, issue. Get back in shape. Secrets of red hot sex. What was this one? This one was 30 red hot sex secrets. This one's different. This is secrets of red hot sex. Do you see what I'm saying? Nomenclature. The words. If you're buying this, chances are these are the words you're using. Get back in shape. I don't know anyone who says, geez, that was red hot sex. I don't know. You probably are. Okay, so how I lost 50 pounds, like, okay, this is a different example. I spent my last 500 bucks on this billboard, please give me a job. Before we went, there's four things you can focus on in your marketing. You, your business, your product or service. Who's this one focused on? Yeah, he probably bombed. He probably, you know, good on him for trying. Someone probably felt sorry for him and he's probably been fired already. But anyway, just turn to your neighbor. What are we learning from this here? And we're going to get stuck into something really cool in a sec. So what are we learning from nomenclature? What are we learning? We'll just start there. What are we learning? Yeah. Nomenclature is just, yeah. Speak their language. Yeah. This is one of the keys. Pardon? And keep doing it. That is your job as a marketer. You're in the business of market. You are in the business of marketing. So one of the things you should learn to do is speak their language. Sharon Pearson is one of the best in the world at speaking the market's language. These guys are the best in the world. And again, you know, their target market is people who are slightly out of shape. Blokes who are slightly out of shape. This is what's called the illusion of productivity. I bought Men's Health magazine. Do you work out? No, I don't, but I bought Men's Health. I'm going to buy some shoes next week. Yeah, it is. It's exactly right. I will, you know, chances are if I buy this magazine, I'm going to look like David Beckham. I'm going to have red hot sex. I'm going to have abs of steel. And I'm going to get back in shape in 27 days. See results in just 8 days. This is the language. Smash stress in 30 seconds. Punch stress in the face in 30 seconds. Okay, so this is nomenclature. So we're just going to get on to this nomenclature, articulation. All you do is speak their language. This is empathy. This is all a whole bunch of those 15 core elements of irresistible offer. The articulation has to be in that as well. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 really simple examples of how you can communicate your offer to your audience. Okay? And this is what we're going to mean by choose your method. The way I use this is in a headline. The way I use this is in when I'm selling to someone, I'll make them an offer. So the first way to articulate your offer is simply by stating what the offer is. Your ad can simply articulate an outcome. Get back in shape. That's what they're offering. It's really, really simple. One of my offers is, you know, we guarantee a 10 times return on your advertising spend. I don't know what your offer is. I'm going to help you save XYZ on your time or insurance premiums or insurance costs. I'm going to give you this much more accuracy, for example.
You just said you guarantee 10 times return on your advertising spend or something like that.
Yep.
Do you then qualify a business before you would?
Absolutely.
Because if they get a shit product, yep. No matter how good your leads and your advertising.
Absolutely. Yeah. In my business, the results are determined by the client. I have a skill set that you can't, you know, what's the saying? You can't make gold out of shit.
Yeah.
Sorry, to be blunt. You can't polish poo into gold. It's not, most of the time, there's a whole bunch of criteria, but you know, but we don't take on clients unless we can absolutely guarantee an outcome, which is so much easier. The second way of articulating an offer is a big idea. Remember we said big idea before? An example of a big idea is most gym goers tend to overtrain and not see the results they deserve until they learn my secret method to cut down on their training and increase their results by 20%. You'll always spend too much time in the gym, for example. That's a big idea. Until you, what I say to people is, a lot of people are spending money on the latest marketing strategies. They're trying to find the right social media platform. But until you get your offer right, your advertising is always going to underperform. That's a big idea. Does that make sense? Most people are looking for a house, a builder, but until you get a builder who can build your house for the maximum return on your investment, you're just going to be keeping up with the Joneses. You know, that's a big idea. Most people want their landscaping done, but unless you get a guy with a ripped body to do it with his shirt off, your plants won't grow. Most people are looking for plants in the backyard, but what you want in the backyard is me with my shirt off. So that's a big idea. Does this make sense? You present, look, like most people just are looking for a holiday, but you want an experience that's safe with your girlfriends, etc. Like, I don't know what the constraint was, but is this making sense? Offer a big idea. Until you get this, you'll always struggle. Like, that's why we're working on offer, because this is the one thing. If you can get an offer right, you've gone a long way to getting your advertising to work. The next thing is story. Okay, so we've got offer, big idea, and the next thing is story. So using an example. So an example of this is, you know, Susie was struggling to get new clients in her business and was never sure, blah, 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 whether she'd meet her bills. Since she met us, she's applied our methods and taken her business to great heights and added $15,000 a month, blah, blah, blah. Use a story. Sally's a story. Yeah, look, stories are, there's a whole, we could talk all day about stories, but the stories are great because it's emotional engagement and social proof. I use a lot of stories when I teach because there's information and then there's engagement. If you use a story, people will become emotionally engaged. So Sally's the perfect, I used a story headline to take our cost of acquisition from $27 to $2 per lead, but just by going from an offer that they didn't like to a story that engaged them. Does that make sense? Use a story. You could say, it could be a story about someone who's come, this is Joe. Joe used to hate his boss until he shot him in the face with a paintball. Now they're best mates or something. Like, it's use story. Story will engage them. So does that make sense? Any questions? Okay, number four, how are we going? Five. Okay. You can combine a big idea with an offer. So this is a combination. Learn how to get 25 new clients in the next 30 days. Most business owners who overwork actually make less than those who work less than 40 hours a week. Until you learn how to generate new clients every week, you'll always be a slave to your business. That's an example. Generate XYZ in this period of time. Most people are struggling until they learn how to generate new clients every week. And until they get their lead gen working, they'll always struggle to grow their business. Combine the two. Make sense? You can combine an offer with a story. How to make 74 grand in a week. Sally used to struggle. Now she doesn't. She's awesome. See what I'm saying? Okay. Articulation of specifics. How to pay off your home in 10 years. This was an ad that was tested, how to pay off your home in 10 years, and no one was signing up for it because the articulation was wrong. And we changed it to how to pay half your mortgage off in 5 years. and the thing started, we smashed it with that. It's like, it's ridiculous. You change the words. Like I said, men's health, they would have tested the crap out of this. Coke Zero, zero sugar. Just changing the way you say it to so the market understands it, can appreciate it, etc. The final one, motivation, pains and goals. I won't go into this one too much, but it's, for example, you know, if your offer is around business growth, you can think of all the other things that business growth can give you. More profit, consistent cash flow, better lifestyle, working less, sell your business for more time with your family. That's just, it's using benefits as part of your offer. So there's offer, big idea, combinations of the two, story. So we've got a couple of minutes to go. What I want you to do, just pick one of those and just practice an offer. By using an offer, a big idea, just practice it. We'll have a quick, we'll get some quick feedback afterwards. But just what I find is really helpful. You've just got a whole bunch of information. Just practice it once. Don't worry about getting it right. But once you've practiced it, you've done it at least once. Has anyone got one yet that they want to throw at me? Yep.
It's for Glenn. Chatting about two things.
Yep.
With the big idea, one, the uncertainty in the investment with, you know, what's happening with tax for investors, etc. We spoke about, instead of investing outside of your home, investing in your home.
Yeah.
Grow stuff like that. And two, we just didn't get to it, but I've got a friend that has just done extensions for Airbnb to their own house, which is a massive growing. So a lot of sort of like baby boomers are supplementing income by creating Airbnbs with their existing properties and doing renos, because that's a potential.
Fantastic. It's also a big idea.
Yeah.
Like that's you're innovating by building in order to capitalize on a growing trend. I mean, that's an excellent idea. If you could put a story to that. There's probably a bunch of stories that you can say, look, such and such was struggling to get a new, find a new investment property until they realized there was heaps of capital to be made or heaps of equity to be built in their own current property. So, you know, that's a story. Does that make sense? Could be a big idea. Until you realize that the closest, easiest, cheapest asset to improve your equity in is your own home, you'll be struggling to find, you know, decent returning property investments. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, if it's just different ways to say the same thing. Cool. Anyone else got an offer that we can't refuse? Go on, don't be shy.
Actually, I've got another one, sort of in the same. Sort of like a big idea.
Yep.
I had some potential clients. I just presented a quote to them yesterday, and it was like an investment property. They were renting the house out of the front. They were going to put another one at the back.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the overall plan. And they've trusted what the draftee has told them sort of 12 months ago, as in how much this place would be worth to build, and that's coming. My quote was a lot more than what that was estimated at. And they found out off like a real estate sort of guy at the time as well, you know, what could we sell this for? So the figures sort of added up at that point. And now they've gone to a lot of trouble getting plans drawn into council, DA, a lot of headache. And now they've seen what my quote is, and now the figures don't add up.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be sort of shorten that down, that scenario down. And the solution is get the builder involved before you get the plans drawn.
Yeah. That could be a story. You know, such and such got a couple of quotes, but realised when they got to council that the cost blew right out, and then they went to a builder first before they and saved XYZ money. Like if you look at this is a formula. You're going to charge more. You're going to pay me more, but I'm going to make more. You're going to make more money out of it, and it's going to save you more time, and it'll cost you less in the long run. Like that's really what you're providing a premium service by that. Does that make sense? Yeah. And there's a big idea. Until you get a builder involved, you're always going to pay more in the long run for your renovation. Unless you get, does that make sense? That's a big idea. Yeah. Most people are trying to save money, but on a build. And this is something I've learned. By trying to cut costs, it always bites you in the butt. So just do it properly first time. Get a builder involved. It'll save you money. You'll get a better job. You'll improve the value of your asset. Does that make sense? Cool. Okay. Yep. So I think that's about it. Is there any questions you want to ask before Steve kicks me off? Yeah.
Right at the start, you said there were six key principles.
Yep.
I've got know thy enemy.
Yep.
Become irresistible.
Yep.
Idea. What were the other three?
They weren't covered.
They weren't covered.
No. Build credibility. Strategy to freedom. Look, we don't. Strategy equals freedom. Tanya's going to cover a lot of strategy, so you don't need me to cover it today. I was going to give you a couple of tips that you could use. One of the strategies we use very effectively is introduction strategies. But the keys to credibility. There's five keys to credibility, real quick. Once you've got an offer, in order to prove that you're the most credible person. You have to there's five things. You've got to establish yourself as the expert. The way you can do that is say, look, there are a lot of cheaper people out there, and you get what you pay for. The way you show that you're an expert is called understand the root problem. Most people are trying to sell people what they want, but if you can sit down and ask them, look, what do you need? Like if you take time in your sales process to go, look, you know, why are you renovating? Is it for more space? Is it for more equity? Is it for more this? If you the more you understand them and the more you can articulate it back to them, that builds credibility. So I've done about, I don't know how many I've done thousands of sales calls and within certain markets. And I understand, like within the market that we work in at the moment, there's only four types of person. They've either got, you remember before, attract, convert, deliver? They've either got an attraction problem, a conversion problem, a delivery problem, or they're not a fit. So when I do a sales call, 90% of the time I'm more than happy to go, you don't have one of these problems, so I'm not your person. I don't think I can help you. I've got other criteria, whether I like them or not. Tell people I can't help you because I don't know whether we're a relationship fit. What happens when you try and sell someone I don't think we're the right people for you? They want you more. Every single time. You say, look, this is your problem. Here's your problem. I understand it. I can't help you, sorry. They'll be like, please, I'll pay you more. Like it's not personal, it's just I'm not that person. Don't be afraid to be the expert. Does that make sense? This is credibility. Number three, these are really simple. If you've done it yourself, your prospect needs to know that. If you've renovated your own property, if you've changed your own life, if you've done it yourself, that's credibility. This is done. If you've done it for someone else. If you've done it yourself, if you've helped other people get a specific outcome, that's credibility. And number five, if you have a system. So one of the biggest problems with selling is people don't, especially when you're selling to consultants, and even life coaching, is that people don't, they might trust you, they might think you're awesome, but they don't trust themselves. And one of the ways to overcome that is to go, look, we have a system. We adjust it depending on the person, but we have a specific step-by-step process that you can follow and we'll talk you through that we've helped XYZ people and I did it myself and it's all based on, you know, solving this particular core problem. So if you have a system or a process, especially if you give it a sexy name. It's a unique method. Is this making sense? Those are the keys to credibility. If you've done it, if you've done it for other people, if you've got a system for it, it's all designed to solve the root problem, you become the expert in their world. Does that make sense? Those are the keys to credibility. And the rest you'll learn from Tanya this afternoon. Cool?
All righty, guys. Can you all please give Adam a big round of applause?